up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. A cup victory over the local derby against Colesta, and a nice 2-0 win against Galway last week, or 3-0 win, I should say. And the man with me today was on the commentator's box that week, and he was also on the previous Galway game. He's just informed me. Contrast the two games there, Paddy. But how did you find doing comms? How are you enjoying it up there and watching both?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good at the moment. They're doing well, all right. Thanks for having me on. Special shout out to Bern O'Byrne there, former lecturer or former work colleague of mine, at Sparks. But now going back to being in the commentary box. Now it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable being up there. Like I said, I done the first Galway game, 7 games in, they're beating 2-0, and I think the staff got some serious stick going off the pitch that night in terms of boos and whatnot, and it wasn't a great environment. But look, they've turned things around. It's chalk and cheese compared to where they were on the previous Friday there against Galway. I thought they dominated the game for large parts and got their results, and obviously James Taylor getting on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, I think when I was watching the Galway, I spent most of the halfway line with a bottle of cider in my hand. So I was basking in the last
like it.
I was basking in the last bit of Dublin sun, is what it seems anyway, outside. But it was very important that man, Douglas James Taylor, got off the mark. Was a player I wasn't overly sold on in terms of a guarantee that he was going to come in and do a job. You were hoping he'd hit the ground running against Pats. Never materialised, but I mean, taking it away from that strike after, I think it was about 35-40 minutes. Oh, sorry, 45 minutes
yeah,
in the second half.
It was a couple of minutes, a few minutes into the second half. But like, came into the squad, I suppose, a couple of days before the Pats game. And I liked him in the Pats game. He ran around, he was busy up top. And I think Bowes are lacking a focal point all year. Obviously, Musset didn't work out. Collie Whelan's been in and out of sorts. Whereas this fella's come in and he's a proper foil. Obviously, they're playing James Clark as the fake nine as such. He's running around the place and he's busy. He's a handful. But I think the two lads complemented each other well. If Taylor drops in, Clark will run beyond them and vice versa. Like, the two of them are very, they're a handful up top, and they keep any back four occupied, you know. So, but going back to Taylor, like, I just think his overall performance against Galway was really good.
Yeah, I think he's definitely that missing link. You know, the amount of times the ball's probably far into a box and we haven't got too much near, but I think as well as that, he's opened up a bit of space for a man that we just briefly touched on, James Clark, who got 2 goals, probably could have 3 or 4, only for a couple of great saves. And I've been saying it for a while now, I'd be throwing the kitchen sink at him in terms of money just to keep him there. I think he's probably worth being paid, one of the top players in the squad now. I know he might have aspirations elsewhere, or maybe want to move on, and maybe doesn't trust Reynolds to keep giving him game time. But I think he's absolutely integral in what we do at the moment.
I spoke a bit about him on the League of Ireland Central podcast there last week, and we kind of came to the conclusion, our own thoughts were that, like, he hasn't been abroad yet, and it could be something that he wants to give a go to, and he couldn't knock a fella for wanting to give that a go. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the same time, I'd be in your camp there if Bowes were to throw the kitchen sink at him, get him on a good deal. Well, then it could benefit player and club at some point, you know what I mean? But now he's been here the last few weeks, an absolute handful. His ability to take the ball in, and he's one of them players that looks quicker when he runs with the ball as opposed to when he's without a type thing. And his ability to dribble past the player and get a shot off or create something out of nothing's, he's one of the hot ones in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I think maybe you aside, he's probably the most exciting player I've seen in the Bowes jersey, where the ball drops and he's able to do a half turn here and there. But again, I don't think there's too many players like him in the league. He's probably a bit like Graham Bourke in that sort of sense. Maybe Bourke's a little bit older, relies on his experience. But it's all going seeming well at the moment. 3-0 victory. And
he's like a street footballer, isn't he, at times, where he just takes and he can just shimmy out with nothing, you know?
Yeah, it's like even the ball can just drop from the air, and within the touch that it falls, he can like spin on it, and it's just like, how have you done that? And you know, there's two or three players sold out of it, and Again, we've got a number nine now. That's who he's going to be looking up when he does them turns, and he can maybe play a ball through to. I suppose on the wings we've been shaking it up lately. Ross Tierney's probably played a bit more out on the right, maybe not too far wide, but the wide position's probably a bit less convincing this season. Parsons being in and out of the squad, Reece Brennan's still quite young. It's hard to see a change between Dale Rooney and Ross Tierney now on the end of the season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the two boys seem to have cemented place. And look, when they play as inverted wingers at times, Rossi's so good at coming in off the line and playing. And Dale then has a natural left footer playing on the right where he chops back and he delivers that in-swinging cross and he can come in and play with the centre forward or link it up. Like, they're really good options to have. And if it's not working out for you, the likes of Parsons and Reece Brennan are two. I class them as out-and-out wingers where they're old school. They get down the line, try to get a ball in the box. They'll commit players and do a bit of damage, I suppose, if the other two have occupied full backs for long periods of time during a game, they tire them out, well then you've got really good options off the bench. But look, the healthiness of the competition, having key wide men fighting for position is it's always good for a squad.
Yeah, and then suppose towards the centre of the park. I'm not sure if you played alongside the boy, you probably just missed him, did you?
Oh, I just missed him. Jeez, I would have loved to have played with him. The way he played their last game against Galway, he was box to box and just he was doing both sides of the game. He'll go back, he'll win a ball on the edge of his own box and start an attack from there. He's just technically really good and he has that bit of a fucker in him now where you go back and he'll win the ball. Like, you know, it's just he's box to box and he's leading the team. He wears captain's armband, to be fair to him, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably also a bit more of an incentive for him maybe to stay at Bowls. And I know he came back from England. And I think Dan McDonagh mentioned on the podcast run last week that he was offered a wholesale deal and he turned it down to go to Bowls. So, no, not all players are. England isn't the be all and end all. There was obviously a Bundesliga interest, second division, a couple of weeks ago. And I think we can all probably agree that League of Ireland players are probably a bit more suited to a technical league than the rug and tug of a League One, League Two side.
Nowadays it definitely seems to be that way. Look, he's been around the block over there. He knows what it's like, and he had his offers on the table to come back and play in the middle of the field for the big club against good opposition week in, week out, and he's dominating games. It's not just getting through games, he's actually dominating games and he's the main man in there. So everything is coming up Dawson Devoid, you know what I mean? He's flying, so he doesn't need to move anywhere, do it.
Yeah,
Just stay performed, like.
and a man beside him in midfield, Adam McDonnell. He's probably keeping Keith Buckley out of sight at the moment, although Buckley's still coming on, giving us 30 minutes that are probably as important as the previous 60. How have you found McDonnell going on this season, and how important he's been since he's taken that position?
It's been like I done the Galway game, like we spoke about, but he played as a left wing back that day, and once again, he's just one of them players that comes in, understands his job within the squad, within the team, and executes it. And that's, I suppose, that's what I spoke. We spoke a bit about the commentary there, and there was a case of every player knows their job. There's fluidity in the squad where they can chop and change lads in and out position or different shapes, and they all know what they're going to do. Bring Bucco in for at a half time of a match, start him in a match, or ring him in for the last 25 minutes. He knows how to kill off a game or get the lads going. Chop and change centre backs. Lee Cavan comes in, does a job. Rob Cornwell goes off. Like, do you know what I mean? They're all capable of doing a job wherever they play on the pitch. Like, and that's testament to, I'd say, testament to the coaching staff, to the quality of players that they brought in and the capability of the players that they have in the squad, you know.
Yeah, and I know you've just touched on there the two centre halves coming in and changing it, but there's obviously a lot of worry when Sean Gretton left, but it's been fairly seamless now since he's gone. I think we've got 8 clean sheets in the last 10. He would have obviously been some part of it. Should possibly be 9 and 11 now after Colestra, but that's an incredible defensive record, isn't it, for any team in any league?
Any team in league, like, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, like, most teams that win leagues are built on good defences in another kind of way. And the way that Flores sits in there, Lee Cavanagh's in there, Cornwall's in there, obviously Sean's gone back to the UK, but the lads that have all played have all contributed in some way. And clean sheets, obviously, are a good foundation to go win games. So look, there. They're well drilled and they're well marshaled, to be fair to them. Like they know what they're at, and there's a trust there between goalkeeper and back four that probably looked a bit shaky at the start of the season there, do you know?
Yeah, I know we touched on it off air that they've had tweaked a few things during the season, but you would have seen it from maybe a high advantage in the comms box. How complicated is that for our players? And they've obviously picked up on it now. There's a constant formation change in terms of attack to defence. It's like we attack in a block of four, and or sorry, we defend in a block of four, and then we seem to switch to a three and attack. And you know, there's again, you've got those players, Devoy, Tierney, Rooney, all very, they've all got their own positions, but simultaneously they all play in that sort of centered area where their best work is done. How do you think that is for them? Have grasped it, and how well have they grasped it now?
Players they are, like good players make better decisions every time. And what it seems to be for Bowes players now, when they're going into an attacking third of the pitch, they always seem to have two options available. And it seems to be drilled into them. If somebody has the ball, make sure that two other lads can see the ball or be available for a pass. They never seem to be out of an option. They're on a kind of way. And I suppose over the last year, when they did run forward, they looked stale and they didn't look like they were come to create it, and I was very hopeful, launch it into an area and see how we can get out of it. But whereas now, when they go and play, like they always have an option, there's always a pass there, and their ability to deal with the ball in little tight areas and little, like we can knock one into Dawson, he'll take a turn, flick it around the corner, the next man's going to pick it up, and there's a third man run. There's options the whole time, and that seems to be the way I suppose Rennie has given them license to go and attack. But I'd say the Stevie factor there is that be available, be an option to be a pass, you know.
Yeah, it's something that we've picked up on the three coaches, and that they all seem to be working as one. Would you have played with Stevie O'Donnell at Rovers at any stage?
Yeah, played the Stevie back then. Yeah, he came into the Rovers team, all right. Obviously, I've spent half my playing career with Dets or so. I know the two boys a long time, and like they're pure football mad. Think about the game, think about how to win games, and then you've got the foil of the gaffer who's there, and he's just a fucking winner. Like he's teak tough, and he knows what it takes to win games as well. So I think you've got a really good trio there that understand football, love the game, but more importantly, they love winning and they do whatever it takes to win. And I think that's what you see with Bowes now. They'll put bodies on the line and do whatever it takes. Going to the 97th minute, they'll do whatever it takes to win a game.
Yeah, I think
Or at least be seen trying to.
when you look at the turnaround, the form, you were there for the Galway game, and I think genuinely by that stage I thought was we were nearing the curtains call on the three of them in the dugout. Probably hard for you to see. That's probably a pal of yours, coming off the pitch. You know, balls through and through. Even though Donald, you'd probably know to talk to the three lads coming off. And were you confident to turn it around, or they'd be given the time to turn it around? Because it was getting quite stale and nasty, I think.
It felt like it was getting toxic, but I think the character that's in the three lads, they were going to stick it out. And to be fair, I'm delighted the board as such delivered on in supporting them, you know what I mean, and gave them the chance. And sure, look at them now, like second in the league, and have put together some unbelievable runs of games. And if they can pinch Europe this year, it's a hell of a turnaround over the last year and a bit, like you know, the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think we'll touch on the rest of the league, but it seems ominous, I think, to me that it's going to be very hard for Pats or Shells maybe to catch Bowes or Derry. I know there's about 10 or 11 games left after this weekend. Obviously, Bowes or Derry will be in a stronger position. Possibly both will be another point clearer, but for 10 games, 10, 11 game shootout, Pats and Shells are going to be busy for the next 3, 4 weeks at least for them. I think Shells are going to have been busy for at least 6 weeks. Probably going to be a long way back to catch those points when you're playing for, sorry, midweek on Sunday. Is that when you're sort of looking to take advantage of these teams and try to get ahead of them?
100%. If they need to, Bowes need to make hay now, get points on the board and put such a gap between themselves and the rest of them that it becomes an impossible task. And when you do go to play them teams, like I suppose you need to stand on their throat and say, we're here, like you're not getting a shot at it. So look, Pat's done towards the end of last year and on form. Had there been another couple of games in the league, geez, they could probably could have nearly won it, but Shells are going to be busy now till the end of August, I think it is. So they'll have a lot to deal with. A couple of injuries there starting to creep in. They haven't really strengthened the squad in July yet either. So it'll be interesting to see how things develop for the two of them. Look, Drogheda are still in there as well, like 38 points on the board, and they won't give up either. So they've a bit of work to do in front of them, both have, but they're in a hell of a position to do it.
Yeah, I think the important thing is trying to get top three, and the next two games I think are going to be pivotal. I know it seems like listeners will probably say I'm saying this every week, but it does feel that way. You've got Derry and then you've got Drogheda at home. I mean, if you could get something on Friday and beat Drogheda, you're looking at a big gap then between the rest, because I think I was looking at the games that Shells are going to be affected by is going to be us. So you'd be hoping you'd be taking advantage of that, playing them on a Sunday, but playing Sligo, who are probably the informed team in the league at the minute. They play
Yeah.
Galway as well and a cup game, so Shells are going to be really, really up against it. And those Thursday Sunday games, it's how you prioritise it. With Joey O'Brien in there, he's going to have to try to figure out who does he play when, and do you give up that top four chase, go all out for the cup, and maybe try to get to that Conference League playoff, or just still try to stay in distance as much as you can. I think we could be out of sight by Shells. I know I've been proved wrong many, many, many times, probably more times than that, but. I think looking at it, the way we're playing and just the way the fixtures are lined, I think it's very difficult for those Pats or Shells maybe to catch us unless one of them go on a Pats-esque run last season. But looking up towards the Leith, do you feel that maybe we've an opportunity to win it this year?
I think winning it could be a stretch. I think there's a couple of points dropped around the two draws that we hadn't drawn in a long time. Them two draws were bit of a kick in the stones, but I think you're right in what you're saying, that you feel like you're saying every week that, oh, this is a big game. This, like, for Bowes, we've 10 big games, 11 big games to solidify a European position. See, whatever, you can't affect what other teams do, you can only win what's out in front of you. So that's what they have to do first and foremost. And if they can couple that with a good cup run, well, then see where it takes them. It's definitely the squad to do a bit of damage there. After they lost a couple of points early in the season, that probably you needed to maybe get over the line to win a league. Time will tell, but it's definitely within their capabilities. I wouldn't say never, but there's a bit of work to be done, you know.
Yeah, you just wonder as well that Shamrock Rovers team has been going for about 12 months straight now, about a week out over Christmas, another week. You just wonder if they do get a bit tired towards the end. I know they're all professionals, but does the body start to wear out towards the end of the season?
100% it does it. Like, especially like they like European runs and all that carry on, like that takes its toll on the body. And obviously Pico would have some serious miles in the tank there between European or international duty and all that stuff that goes with it. So look, come a European run and then you're into the slog of September. It can be tough, like, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Like you said, 12 months on the road. But going back to Bowes, what they have out in front of them is a hell of an opportunity, and I'm sure they'll be giving everything they can to fucking get what they need done, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got through in the cup on Friday. No need to go too much detail. Fairly ominous 8-0 win over Leicester, I think it was. Maybe was it, or was it 7-0 in the end? I'm not too sure. I was down in Kerry
Oh, 7-0,
myself.
you were occupied.
Yeah, we were all on the handicap betting. I know you like not punch yourself. You're a horse racing man, but we're all on the handicaps.
I was nearly going to text you a tip for the last, which has run a few quid already.
What did you had? What was the tip in the last?
Lemon zest.
Lemon zest. Now we had the double tipping and tapping on the one before that, and one of the lads had 20 quid win on the real deal. Real deal, I think it was. That was 25-1. So,
I actually got a tip for that. I got a tip for that as well, but I never backed it.
yeah, so that came in. But yeah, it was. We were, Town had us down here for one race. Surely we have to back him on that, and he comes fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
But
Probably.
yeah, good day out, Kevin. Now I have to say, I know you're a horsey man, but. I know you've been around the world a little
You
bit.
look like you enjoyed yourself.
We had a bloody good time. You've been around the world. It accosted a housemate of mine, actually a former housemate of mine, an international one, young Jordan Smith in Portugal. He said he
Yeah.
walked out of a pub and he just heard, "Up that bows," and then he was grabbed in a headlock and dragged down the old town in Alba Fair. But he's actually in Bulgaria at the moment. He's after getting engaged to his partner from Scandinavia. So I want to just give a shout out to him and congratulate him.
Congratulations, Jordan. Fair play to you.
Yeah, started seeing her, I think probably this time last year. I think he started seeing her, and so I wish him well. And another one bites the dust, another stag party for me to go to.
He's jumped in with 2 feet right away. Good lad.
Ah, look, when it's love, it's love, Paddy. When you know,
When it's right, it's right. He's dead
yeah,
right.
he's dead right. Get it over and done with. So hopefully he make me an uncle now in the next couple of years, and shall we go from there?
You're looking for Godfather duties, the full shebang.
Well, I certainly won't be able to look after myself, never mind the child. So I'll stick with Godfather rather than father. But yeah, the draw came out today. Sligo were home. I'm not sure if you're watching it live, but it was looking a bit scary towards the end when Bray were pulled out. All the fourth division teams were more or less gone, and it was Bowes, Derry, Pats, Waterford, and Sligo. I thought that we're definitely going to end up in the bog side here.
Yeah, but here, look, Sligo are the form team at the moment. I know we're a few weeks away from playing them. Like, they've been the last couple of weeks now. They've been excellent. Nobody would have given them 4 points a couple of weeks ago against Rovers and Derry. So, look, once again, it'll be a big game. Bowes will have to go out and do what they have to do to get through the tie. The rest of the ties look after themselves. Like Shells and Pats, that's one of them gone. Cork Waterford, another one gone.
Dairy drugs.
Derry Drogs last year's finals playing against each other, so that's one of them gone. It's all of a sudden you're left with a handful of favourites nearly for the cup. Like, you know what I mean? It'll be a good chance if you can get through the tie and avoid the any of the big hitters in the next round. You never know where to take them. Like, you know.
Yeah, I suppose they've had enough heartbreak over in the cup the last few years, but there's no better
Lots.
year to win it into the Europa League rather than the Conference League if you do win it.
Yeah, some parrot out there in front of any team that goes and wins it. What are you saying? Is it 760,000 or a couple of million or something?
I think it's about 760 for that round that you get into straight away. If you win that, I think you get another 760, and then if you lose, I think you drop to the Conference playoff. So, there's a hell of a chance you could have two teams. Knocking off into the Conference League over the next couple of years, it looks like all League of Ireland teams are favourable to the draw for this round. Bar Shells, you'd imagine they go to Carabag. You'd assume Rovers will overcome the Gibraltar team and Pats will overcome the Estonians. I think they're playing.
The rewards are ridiculous. Like,
What's it?
the financial rewards are ridiculous now this stage. Like, it's just the equivalent
Yes.
to win the league six, seven, eight times over. Like, it's over one tie. It's just nuts.
Yeah, I think shares are, I think they've banked 2 million already now. I know that'll probably just about clear their debts the last couple of years. But you could probably deal with them maybe just going to the playoffs and getting knocked out there rather than accumulating another 4 or 5 million, because it's hard. It's hard for teams to compete now. I'm not sure if you bought the Oasis jersey yet, but I think these jerseys
We
are
did.
You didn't need these jerseys are probably keeping us ticking over financially at this stage. I've seen someone
Yeah.
walk out in WWE to it, so these are going everywhere and to everyone. And said Bowes sold more jerseys than they probably accumulated points in the whole entire existence of 145 years.
It doesn't matter. It's fulfilling a purpose, and look, they do it really well. And be fair to Dan Lambert and everyone else who gets involved in creating them. Like, they've just done something in a different way, and no sugar daddies involved, no big corporate backers getting involved. He's out there doing his thing, and look, Bowes got ahead of the curve with what they do with their jersey. So,
Yeah, I think it's probably being built up to probably this season. When you look at it started off with the Bob Marley that never went ahead, and they sort of got the buy back in. But I think at the start, people were sort of laughing, gimmick jersey FC. But now it's really become a big financial powerhouse that's built up to this. And I think Dan was on the business open or something like that. I think a couple of months ago when he said that we expect revenue from marketing or from sales of jerseys and merchandise to be up at around 5 million in a handful of years' time. Which for a League of Ireland club to be making that amount is absolutely crazy.
phenomenal business. Whatever world you're working in, to scale, a League of Ireland football club that was on the brink of like ruin, on the edge of disappearance, to coming back to be so financially viable and have a couple of million in the bank is a testament to all the people involved there, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose you look around the league as well. Looks ominous that Cork are probably gone. A club that were members on for a couple of years, they handed it down with Usher. Now they don't want them there. But you don't think you never played for them? Sure you didn't.
No, fuck that.
As you
It
said,
was
there's a bit. Well, Ed.
I was 2008, I think. I met Tommy Dunn, was managing them, and he offered me a deal to go down, but it just didn't fancy it. Didn't think it was the right move for me. But like, Turncross is a hell of a place to go and play from an away point of view, like. Playing into that shed and all that carry on. It's brilliant. Great ground to go and play, but I just wouldn't fancy playing down there myself. And I just think that a club that size, huge county, the hassle that they have yearly is just, it's embarrassing, really, you know.
Yeah, it's mad. Like you think about it, like they've how many times have they changed owner? They've taken it back, they've sold it again. At what point do they realize? Like sometimes the obvious answer is the
They've more
right
names than both have jerseys.
answer. That's a fair assessment, all right. And as I say, the first division needs a strong Cork team, so hopefully they end up down there.
Right here, no, I want them in the Premier Division because the grounds, the facilities, everything that's there is brilliant. But look, they just need to get their house in order, don't they? Like, it's just.
Yeah, and there's a new other teams that are fresh around the league. I think Galway probably would have got to start in a bit of a fall off.
They've lost a couple of bodies. They've had injuries, haven't they? Like, it's obviously Dyer Gowan's a huge one for them. God, they've been unbelievable. Kevin Doherty, what a job he's done up there. Like, I think he said one of his interviews after one of the games a while back, saying that the team might have been a Virgin Media game. None of the lads in the studio would have given them any chance. They all thought they're going to be vying for position 9 or 10 in the league, and they've been. I don't think they've been outside the top five all season. If memory
Yeah,
serves me right, so
I think you're right there. Yeah, I think they were front runners after 4 or 5 games, so
yeah, they've been excellent. I think considering it's their first year full time, and the squad he's assembled between a couple of loanees and bits and pieces that way, he's done some really good business himself and Darragh Doyle. Played at both of them back in the day at Bray Wanderers. So look, two lads are really good footballing men, really. Really thought about the game and loved the game, and what they've done up there is serious work, like, you know.
Yeah.
No mean feat.
Yeah, you have to give them credit where credit's due. I know the owners have probably gotten everything wrong in that club. That's probably led them to where was it a little bit of a fall in terms of being out of Europe, and then they thought they were going to get a compensation for Douglas James Taylor before realizing you wouldn't get compensation for a 23-year-old. That's probably the level of intelligence you're dealing with in the football world from the owner perspective.
Well, that's if some people aren't full-time employees and they take their eye off the ball, or they're not aware of certain goings on. But you'd imagine that, I suppose, somebody was advising someone along the way there. And look, it is what it is. The compensation thing is one thing, but the whole European shenanigans, I think they're so harshly done by, you know, it's unfortunate for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we'll look ahead to Friday. Derry away, a former team of yours as well, I believe. I think you had a year up there, did you?
Yeah, I had a year in the Randy Well. Yeah, it's they're a great football place to go play ball. There's a it's one of them one club cities, so it's top of the table, nearly top of the table, clash second and third point in between them. It's a tough place to go, but they won comfortably in the cup the other day as well, didn't they? They beat
Yeah,
Treaty 5 or 6-1.
into 3-4 or 6-1. Yeah,
So look,
they were in the handicap bet too. All the handicap bets came in, so we're all happy punters down in Killarney. But who was in charge in your time up there in Derry? Any stories or any funny things happen up there?
Decky Devine and Paul Hegarty were the men in charge, and Rory Higgins played centre midfield. They always knew he was going to be a gaffer, just the way he just lived the game as well. So it's gonna be a tough game because the big fellow Pat Boyce is on fire. He bagged a hat trick the other day. He'll be a handful. He's experienced. He's been around the league, and if Balls can get out of there without getting beaten, I think it's a good result, you know.
Yeah, another man who's probably on the wing that you would have been playing on, Michael Duffy, a constant thorn in the Bohemian side. I think he's got about,
Oh.
he's no one scored more against us than I think he in the last 5 or 6 seasons. Suppose you wouldn't have been like being up against competition with him, would you?
Well, he came into the team. He came into the squad when I signed up there, and that fella, he could run like the wind. And I remember it was our second day back, and your man, the strength and conditioning coach, had set out. I think he'd set out a 3 mile run or two, a 3.5, 4 mile run. And this little whipper comes in, Mikey Duffy, and away he goes. We were running in groups or whatever, but he just ran, and he was just streaming around the place as if it was effortless to him. And afterwards, then it was Marty McCann goes, he's the coach. He goes, "What you think of the wee boy?" I says, "That boy can run like the wind." And he goes, "You know, he ran in some might have been some 8 kilometer or some mid Ulster run the day before for the school, and he just showed up and ran." They'd enter somebody in, and off he went, and he ran it, and he came third or something and all of Ulster just off
Just off the
going out
back
and
and out
running. So
training
that's
and just going for.
yeah well he's just one of them, naturally fit, and he could run, but his ability to twist and turn people and score goals, like, what did he bend one of the top in there last year, was it against,
Yeah, I think he scored a
or the
free
year
kick against
before?
us at the start of the season as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
he's
even
an exception.
he's got that pace and power, but even you can see now he's probably not that boyish figure. He's a well-built winger now, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not an exceptional ability with the tactical nous now to play as a proper winger at times. He can come in and link off the front man as well. He's one of them that he thinks about the game now rather than just being get to the end line and cross the ball. He creates things out of nothing as well. He's like similar to, I suppose, that Dundalk outfit where you had Daryl Horgan and one wing himself, and the other at times they were just unplayable, and he's maintained. Did he get player of the year last year?
Think he might have. I think he
No,
was
it's Dylan
definitely up
Watson.
there.
Maybe the year before he
He
got.
was in what? Yeah, he was definitely in the show for it last year. And I think he sort of tailed off with Derry tailing off towards the end.
Yeah, like he's just no. He's look. He's a danger. He's a danger man. Week in, week out for them. So he's a. It'll be interesting to see who plays right full for Bowls.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be might be Liam Smith. I know they've been bringing him in now. Of the squad, I'm not sure what you probably made of him a right back.
But they played, like, the last league game, they played three at the back. So,
Yeah.
Ian Brown went out there right centre back. You had Lee Cavan a centre back, and you had Jordan left at left back. So, or left side of them. Keane Brown ended up playing in the middle of the back three at the end of the game. So, it'll be interesting to see who he puts out there. I think you need someone with a bit of pace and be able to stand him up and showing the line and be able to deal with him when he goes the line, you know.
And what would you go with yourself? Would you go with the back three?
Going up to the Brandywell, no, I'd be a 4-5-1 and just let the boys compact that midfield and don't let them play. Try and strangle the midfield and see where it takes them.
Would you keep James Clark up top then going forward, or would you maybe hold him that little bit deeper in the off chance of the winning battle?
I'd play him in at the tip of a three man midfield. I'd have Devoy behind him, Rooney on the right, have Rossi in there for his energy as well. I suppose we haven't spoke about Niall Moran either. Like, he's another one that's come into the squad and he just does the job wherever you ask him to play. So look,
Where do you
there's
actually
great
see
options there, but it'd be.
his vision? I know he was signed as a centre defensive mid. I think he done okay, but he was probably part of that spell where we were rotten in there. He gets moved, shifted right back, moved into centre back a little bit. But do you see him maybe being a right back long term rather than a centre defensive midfielder?
Here, there's no doubt he can do a job there. And when I seen him the first day of the season in the Aviva and he played as the whole midfielder, I thought he was exceptional. I thought he just He got around the pitch really well, filled gaps, especially on a big pitch, and he just looked like a new Booker when there nearly, you know what I mean? Just was able to manage the game. But like you say, part of that bit of a spell where things didn't look great, so to shift a couple of things around, and I suppose we definitely like Adam, bring Adam McDonald in there back in there as well. Like, you know, it's great options to have.
Yeah, I think that's when you want to be winning league titles and you want to be challenging, make sure you're challenging for Europe and on all fronts. I think you need to have a big midfield more than anything, which I know a lot of probably teams don't really have. Pat's quite stretched when Forrester was out. Shell's quite stretched. They had to end up having Coyle centre back. I know they signed Jack Henry Francis, man with three front names like Douglas James Taylor. But I think Bowes are probably the best
Yeah.
equipped, maybe alongside Rovers in terms of midfield. I think it's probably why we've been, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, when we're in a game that's tight. There's only really one team that looks like winning them more times than not when there's, 10 minutes ago.
Balls just empty the tank, don't they? They just stay going and they give it everything to try and win the game. Like it's nearly what you identify them with, like keeping clean sheets and trying to win the game. Like it's chalk and cheese to where they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and where do you think the batter's going to be one up on the box side? What part of the pitch?
Oh, in midfield, 100%. I think whoever plays centre back's gonna have their work cut out them with boys, but equally up the other end, if Taylor plays up top, like he'll occupy centre backs as well. So I think whoever can cut the mustard in the middle of the field will be the winner of the game, you know.
And I suppose we'll get a score off you.
Gore and the Brandywell. I think it'll be a score draw.
Score draw. I have a feeling it's going to be a draw myself. Probably won't do either team a favour in terms of going for the league, but probably strengthen both teams in terms of challenging for Europe. Would you completely rule out a Bohemian title charge after a draw?
If they don't win up there, yeah, I don't think what's Rollers have a get Rollers have a game in hand and 8 points clear. Bowls don't win up
It'd
there, it's
be level playing, I think. It'd be after this game, it'd be all the games would be square.
sorry, Bowls have a game in hand, yeah. So if they win here, 5 points off it. It's definitely a title charge.
Yeah, I think we have to start looking that direction. Absolutely, we do win. I know there you'll be
Look,
looking
you
to.
have to be here. You have to be ambitious, and like that squad of players will probably be talking amongst themselves, saying, "Fucking win the next game, and see where it takes us." We've no European distractions. All we have is the next game in front of us. You know what I mean? So, I'd imagine within closed ranks there. That is the talk. Just win the next game and see where it takes us. And that's all you can do, really. But
Yeah,
to
just hope
get
there's.
there, you have to think about it as well. Like, so.
And I know they've gotten a new paddle, a little arena in the training ground. Far cry from what you would have had in ITB. But I just hope they have their.
Yeah.
I hope they have their little stat checkers on them, and they're not boring themselves down playing paddle for 3 or 4 hours a
Just get me in there and I'll beat a lot of them.
day. But what do you see for the rest of the season? How's it all going to end up at the top of the table? You're what they call it now.
We think it'll be I'd like to see Bowes give it a right go, but I think they might finish second and I think they'll have a good cup run. And that's what I want them to. I want them to obviously I'd love them to pinch the league, but I think there's a lot of work out in front of them with the caliber of that Rover squad, what they have and what they've done before them. And if they can nick a European spot and win the cup as well, well then it's a hell of a season, I think.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the league, it's probably a stretch too far. But I definitely think I said before a ball was kicked this season, I thought a lot of it would have relied on how quick the Moose would have gotten fit if he was going to get fit. If you could have got him going, you would have had your striker that wouldn't you wouldn't have needed to go chasing or somewhere then. And obviously Whelan really I know the top goal scorer. I think he's only scored in 3 games, but I think that that midfield that we have there, Davoy, Tierney, Bucco, McDonald, Morahan would have been part of it, James Clark. I was looking to go, that's as good as anything, even as good as Rovers. Like Jack Bourne's not really what he was. I know he came back a little bit and he's had spells here and there, but he's him since his back injury hasn't been the same. Borky's a bit older. Watt's excellent, obviously. Mandrew, I'm not sure what he hasn't been. I don't think he's been starting most games this season. I think he's come off the boil a little bit.
In now, but going back to like Bowes are second in the league at the moment. We're second in the league and haven't had a prolific goal scorer all year. And to be second in the league is testament to everybody else chipping in with goals. Like Rovers have goal scorers in their teams, no doubt about it. But Bowes getting to second in the league as it stands without anyone prolific up top is it's a some to be fair to like.
Yeah, especially with the start they had, you just kind of wonder, get a bit annoyed maybe when you look back and you see those fours, think we
Well,
lost
in
something.
hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. You can't affect it. Only move on.
No, you have to move on, but those first 6-7 games where I think we had 7 points after 9 games are kind of ruined.
Yeah.
And if you had got two more wins in there, we'd be right up their arse. And I think there was an argument as well. I think with that League of Ireland pod on last week, I think there was a bit of an argument about the front loading the games probably doesn't help the title race. That they've already got them paid and the points are on the board.
Oh, it's poxy when teams are playing their own little mini series of games, and there's other teams not playing, and it's disjointed then at times. Like obviously that's why the fixtures have been condensed the last few years and gives everyone the best chance, I suppose, of progressing in their re in whatever respective European competition they're in. But like at the back end of the season, you want to neck and neck, and teams not really burning out because of what they've done during Europe. And some teams take their eye off the box, they're chasing other financial rewards. And you see it in the press, there's lads talking about if they have a good European run, they get a deposit for the house and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? But like
I thought you
for the
actually
league as a
that was a
whole.
bit mad. I know they're all thinking about it, and I know the contracts are about 20% or were anyway at one stage for your qualifying bonuses. But now when you're in Europe and you're just talking about, oh geez, yeah, this is great for me to make money, probably shouldn't be saying that out loud too much.
Yeah, like because the league has been starved of massive money since 2000, when there was big waves, I suppose, back 2000 and was it 2003, 2004, 2005 or whatever, when there was serious bread on the go back then,
Up to about 2009.
to what it is now. Like some players are really well played, some of them aren't played as much, but look, a couple of rounds in Europe and you have 30 or 40 grand in the bank as a deposit for the houses. I admire someone for answering the question honestly, like, you know.
Yeah, you have to give it to a degree, but you're kind of thinking, don't mention money. You're here for the football, and that's the most important thing. Obviously, there's no doubt when you've got 15 or 20% in that contract, you probably shouldn't be going running to the papers telling them that.
That's for love.
The Langer certainly wouldn't allow you to go to the papers and say much, never mind fucking talk about bonuses.
Oh, yeah, sure. I played at Bowls for 4.5 years for absolute pennies, and it was something that I only wanted to play football. I never chased any money. I never chased to move away from the club. I had offers, and Longley used to ring me towards the end of the season. He goes, "Are you all right for next year?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." He goes, "Same deal." I'd be like, "Yeah, no worries. Job done." And I'd pop on into Lynn at the time and sign me contract and be ready for pre-season again. Do you know what I mean? Like nowadays, I suppose it's different that lads are just angling for a move, and the paper talk that goes on around such and such and whatever rumors. You know what I mean? It's just big money to be made in the league these days compared to them years between 2000 and I suppose 2012, 2013 up. Obviously Dundalk had a few quid and they got through Europe and that, but like there was
Your
no mad money around the league at that stage.
prime years were probably either side of the big money years.
Yeah, pretty much, but like I never looked at it. I had a look. I was a part-time footballer and a full-time worker. So to be able to maintain playing as top tier in the country for 10 years without like being exorbitantly paid, and it's something that I'm chuffed of. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't for money. I was playing for love of the game. So that was
Yeah,
that.
and a man you touched on there, Keith Long, out of the game again. I suppose, do you see him coming back into a game in a management role? It's probably hard to say at the moment, given who's managing where, and I can't imagine that he wants to go back down to the country. Can you rely on the Cork or Dundalk to pay our wages? Sligo probably have rustled there for a while, and around Dublin area it's probably harder to see a bit of movement. I know he did say that he was probably looking at work as well away from football, but could you see him maybe moving up to a higher role rather than back to management?
Probably, I'd say look, I wouldn't want to speak for him, but he's really good around the dressing room. He's really good at managing players. He's a real good eye for a player. He definitely, like, you've seen people say he'd be really good as a director of football and all that good stuff. Like, I definitely think he's capable of fulfilling that role. Does he want to still be in the rough and tumble and being out and, like, he used to love coaching. I've seen him on the coaching pitch. He's a hell of a coach. Like, all the drills and the sessions he used to put on, he'd bounce in from one drill into the next, and he'd be clued in. Like, you know what I mean? He's definitely a man to be involved in football in the country. And anyway, that's how I see it. But whether he has the grow to go down around the country again and give it a go, like, it's look, he's between a rock and a hard place. That Waterford job, everyone knew it. Like, with the way that club was being managed in terms of players coming in and going and not having full control over your squad, it's tough for any man to be dealing with, So
Yeah,
you'd like to see him back in the game.
when the owner's behind bars, I think calling the shots, it's probably a bit more difficult when you're told, your keeper's not being signed, they're bringing in this loanee, or that's definitely not how Keith Long operates. I think if I know from speaking to people at Bowes, he was fairly, this is my team. I sign off from recruitment. I pick who we recruit, which is probably why a lot of people may be eager towards him getting that director of football role in the next job. Another man as well, I think, is probably Bowes have gained in terms of the academy. Oh, I think Trevor Crowley's probably a loss to the coaching world in terms of senior football.
Yes, look, Trevor's another one who's been around the game such a long time. I had him in spells at Rovers and at Bowes, and his energy and enthusiasm around the training pitch, and his passion for players to do the right thing and have the right attitude to train properly, live their life properly. It was a Jesus. He's a passionate man about it all,
Yeah,
Just wanted players to get the best of their own ability and give themselves the best chance to get the best of their ability out of them. So that's a the two of them are a perfect foil for each other at some of those good years there for a while,
I think he said his biggest regret in football is probably not winning the trophy with Bowes. He ended up in the stands as well in the
Angry.
final. He ended up in the stand for the final when he got sent off with that row with Bradley. So it's all if buts and maybes, but you'd like to see him back on the dugout somewhere, giving something and maybe winning something with someone. But again, probably hard to see with O'Brien, Reynolds, Bradley, and Kenny in the four Dublin clubs. It probably could be maybe a step up or maybe a step away from football, which is quite sad for what he's given to the club and the league the last 10, 15 years.
He'll know what's right for him, and he'll take stock of whatever options he has out in front of him. When the right offer comes from, he'll take it. If not, well, then I'm sure he'll stay doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and the man in the Bohemian dugout, Adam Reynolds, his contract is up at the end of the season. Probably a bit. Probably we had a
I'll
talk of that.
renew it now. Get it renew it now. Get it over and done with.
Yeah, you probably didn't see that coming after the Galway the first game, but I think if he, I don't see him going anywhere either. To be quite honest, he's after building something here, and he's putting some good players and some good long contracts, and we're hoping
Probably.
that this is the start of something special.
I think I'm on the record of saying it. When he got the job, like, he inherited Deakey's squad, got to the July window, had to move on a bit of dead wood, is what I call it, because there were players there that weren't capable of playing for the club and weren't good enough to play for the club. And then he needs to be given a pre-season to really put his stamp on things. And, like, when Bucco was coming out saying this is the fittest squad he's ever been involved in, he was around some fit squads back in the day. Like, Pat Fennin's original ball squad would have been really fit. So I always said that you could only judge him this July window of where the squad was really at. And to be fair, he has them second in the league with 41 points on the board, and hopefully put together a good cup run. It's him, Stevie and Detzer who have formulate that squad and have them playing the way they're playing. So I don't think this will be any qualms of giving him a new deal, in my eyes.
Yeah, and I think Steve O'Donnell will probably remain as well. Probably similar enough to the coaching around. You know, a lot of managers tied up. You can't imagine he'll go anywhere, although I think long term he'll probably want to take on his own team.
He might do, but like Steve is one of them. I played him, like he loves the game, thinks about the game as well, and just he'd be always looking at things and ways to improve things and way to get a player thing. Like Stevie came from the Arsenal ranks, you know what I mean? The youth. He came from Arsenal as a youth, like you know what I mean? Like he's been around football since he's 14 years of age, 15 years of age. So he's got a lot of mileage in the legs and a lot of knowledge to share, and having him around the game, like he's won a lot in the in Ireland as well. So it's a no-brainer getting him in there as well, like you know.
Yeah, and look, before we wrap up, thank you for your time. But can we put a name on the winner of the cup draw
Us.
today? Oh, I suppose we're gonna win the
I'm
cup.
winning the cup.
We're
Another
gonna win
day
the
out in the
cup.
Aviva.
Another day in the Aviva. Hopefully a bit. Well, the last one was good, so we can't complain too much. We've hopefully we haven't used up our luck in the
We'll
Aviva either.
call it. We'll call it Lansdowne Road for the people who we give them stick for saying the Aviva.
Aviva, absolutely. Paddy, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it as always.
Sure, thanks very much.
And as we do every week, come on the fucking balls.
What the fucking balls.